Hello and welcome to this episode of the Venus and Vesta Evolutionary Astrology Podcast. I want to know, how is eclipse season going for you? As I mentioned in the last episode, we are seeing eclipses as a valve that releases new and sometimes discordant or something that feels not aligned energies or new consciousness, which, you know, that we don't necessarily understand at first. Because this is like the consciousness, a sense of aliveness from the whole solar system being led off in a valve, so there's more of it coming to Earth for fun and games, but also for the evolution of humanity, for our personal lives to grow. You know, the pain, the wonder, the whole gamut of life and Earth's rich tapestry here in an extra experience via these eclipses. So betwixt the eclipses is a powerful time. But now we're coming to the second eclipse in this pair. And of course, eclipses do come in pairs, mostly. Sometimes there's three, but then generally, you know, there's a new moon and a full moon, a new moon solar eclipse and a full moon lunar eclipse in a pair. And of course, we had the lunar eclipse that most of America could see because it was nighttime there. And they could see the lunar eclipse, the blood red moon. You see it a little bit in the UK if you were up early in the UK and perhaps on higher ground. But sorry to the Antipodeans, they missed out on that lunar eclipse. But this week, on Saturday, the 29th of March at 10:58, so roughly 11 a.m. in the morning, UK time. It's still Greenwich Mean Time here in the UK, still Universal Time. The clocks don't go forward till Sunday. We're still in GMT, Greenwich Mean Time here. So it's roughly 11 o'clock. We've got the solar eclipse in Aries, and this is the last in the series for Aries. The last one. And the shadow for this eclipse is going to fall mostly across the Atlantic between Britain and America, but kind of right in the north, so to include Greenland and Iceland as well. So it's exciting for them. And in the UK, we're only going to see about 30-40% of the moon covering the sun, which is still exciting. I think they're all exciting, actually, but that's me geeking out, probably you too. Anyway, Greenland and Canada are going to get the best views and the best, you know, they're going to be in the eye of this particular storm. And it's funny how this time around, the big mainstream news agencies are not going as crazy about this one, since obviously it isn't going to cover America like the last few did. But I am going to share a link in the notes of this episode of the map from NASA, actually, which shows you where the shadow is going to fall. Anyway, I wanted to say that as this eclipse arrives, it's kind of in the context of two very conflicting but also complementary things going on, which we have spoken about in previous episodes. Firstly, there is the ending of things, the dissolving of the paradigms by Neptune, who is, of course, on the last and final degree of Pisces. So this is the dissolving, but also he's there with Mercury, Venus, the North Node and Saturn, all at the end of Pisces, all at the end of the zodiac, changing or saying goodbye to this whole dynamic of our emotional setup, our world here, our consciousness here. So that's one kind of energy that's happening. And then secondly, and kind of on the other hand, we have quite a bit of activity happening in the first degrees of Aries, the beginning of the zodiac, and also the zodiacal sign with all the gumption to get things moving. It's the starter klaxon. Aries is it. It's the starter klaxon. It's our incarnation. It's our incarnation also as the Lamb of God, representing mankind's incarnation on this earthly realm into physical form. It's our incarnation and our sense of being here, right here and now, immediately. I guess the eclipse bringing us further into this earthly realm. to make us utterly present and correct with who we are, what our ego expression is, or we want it to be, and where we are heading, because Aries, of course, does love a goal and a place to head towards. This is individually. We are all getting some kind of notion from this. And also, we're doing this as a collective, but not like in a group. Aries does these things individually, so we're all doing this at the same time, even though this represents mankind as a whole. And here we are at this Aries eclipse in the first decan of Aries, of three decans. There are three decans in each sign, as you might be aware. So we've got 0 to 9 degrees, 10 to 19 and 20 to 29, three evenly spaced decans. And all of the activity is going to be happening in Aries. All the activity that happens alongside this eclipse is happening. The stuff that's happening in Aries is all happening in the first decan. This is a real starter klaxon beginner area. The Aries eclipse is actually sitting at 9 degrees Aries. 9 degrees Aries, 0 arc minutes. So no further than 9. And so it's just inside this decan. And I feel like this is like the beginner. This is like the song by Julio Iglesias, Begin the Begin. We are starting things right at the beginning. But at the same time, as I said, there's two things going on here. At the same time, we're dissolving things at the other end. And that's a big letting go. So we're in this letting go, but incarnating process. So it's a death-birth process or birth-death, whichever way it happens, but kind of both at the same time. It's like a new world is actually being born. But it is humanity, or us as individuals, that have to do the work to birth it. We, the people, have to connect to who we are in this incarnation, in the sense of Aries, Aries as an incarnating sign. And we have to feel into that more powerfully, who we are, why we're here, what are we meant to be doing, where are we heading? This is for us to make sure that incarnation process happens. And kind of like as that meme says, you know, we didn't come here to work for 40 years to the point of exhaustion, to get drunk at weekends and pay taxes so that we can then retire when we're too old to enjoy it. That's not what life should be about. And this Aries eclipse should really give us some sense of that, or renew else that's more important and more appropriate for us as humans. And whilst we have had a few Aries eclipses giving us this renewed sense of importance, of our reasons for being here and our goals, this one, this Aries eclipse on the 29th, is conjunct Mercury, the thinking planet. Mercury is at 0 degrees and 29 arc minutes of Aries. So this is a huge, this is a wide orb. And of course, Mercury is in retrograde. So it's kind of pulling away from this eclipse. And the sun and moon, you know, are exactly at 9. So they really are, this is at the edge of this 10 degree orb. But I think what Mercury is doing, and the fact that it's at the 0 degree and that it's in a retrograde, it's kind of significant for this Aries eclipse. So it's, although it's at the limit of the orb, I think it's still very powerful. I think here the Mercury retrograde is going to signify brand new thoughts and ideas by virtue of Mercury being at this 0 degree. But since Mercury is in retrograde, perhaps this is more an inward idea. So some of these thoughts we might be having very much individually to ourselves. It might be the voice in the head. Or maybe it's something that we have heard before, but we haven't aligned with, or that it's slowly been coming into our consciousness. That's what the retrograde aspect of this is bringing. You know, it's just there on the edge of our consciousness. We knew it was there. We've seen it before. And it's coming forward with the eclipse. So in this way, I think this Mercury retrograde connecting here in Aries at 0 degree, the beginning of the entire zodiac, is like giving us an inner vision so we can look around our existential thoughts as this eclipse transpires. And I do believe this means that there is a real shift occurring for humanity, and a real shift occurring about who we are and why we're here. I think it's so important to realize that as this eclipse happens, that this is really bringing about something for each of us individually in an existential way. And whilst the eclipse happens, although the eclipse isn't in aspect to any other planets, Neptune at the time of the eclipse is at 29 degrees 58 arc minutes of Pisces and hasn't moved into Aries yet. This is the big shift we've been waiting for. Neptune is still working at dissolving the current reality. So we've got this starter klaxon happening with Aries and then Neptune working at the dissolving of what we're happening now. And it's Neptune is also opening up our consciousness to higher, to lower, to other spiritual planes and dimensions. Neptune has us kind of dreaming into another existence, that we are the creator beings here. We are creating this. We are, via Neptune, connecting ourselves to other realms, to our sense of being multidimensional beings. And this is really, this idea of who we are in that sense has really come about since Neptune has been in Pisces. We've each of us understood that a little bit more, even though it's quite hard to understand in itself anyway. But, you know, we're thinking about Neptune and Pisces and the frequencies or the ways of being that we've come to understand, whilst Mercury retrograde is bringing these frequencies into our mind. So the Neptune, it's out there. We've kind of connected with it. We've connected with the frequency of us being these multidimensional beings that, you know, it's understood. But Mercury retrograde is bringing it into our minds, into the reality, and it's like incarnating them and enabling us to understand them. Otherwise, without the Mercury there, we wouldn't understand what Neptune was doing. So I think this is a really, truly special time for humanity to switch over to a completely new dynamic. So we've got this eclipse and it's happening at 11 o'clock in the morning UK time. And at the same time, we have Mercury in retrograde motion as the eclipse. But just within hours, within 24 hours exactly, the very next day, so on the 30th of March UK time at 3:18 in the morning, so roughly 20 past 3 in the morning, still in Greenwich Mean Time, GMT or Universal Time, we have Mercury switching or making an ingress over into Pisces. I think, again, this underlines why Mercury is so important, even though at the edge of this orb for the eclipse, here it is, just within hours, swapping signs, switching backwards into Pisces. So it's going from Aries, the first sign, to Pisces, back to the last sign. And of course, as Mercury retrograde comes back into Pisces, of course, it makes a conjunction with Neptune, who at this point will be now sitting at 29 and 59 arc minutes, 29 degrees and 59 arc minutes of Pisces. So the absolute final degree of Pisces, so that they are conjunct, Mercury retrograde and Neptune are conjunct on the last degree and the last arc minute of Pisces, which of course is the last degree of the entire zodiac and the last degree of a 164 year process. I feel like I've said this too many times, but this degree point is super significant for what we're going through now. We are dissolving something that has been in existence for 164 years. And Mercury, and so that's Neptune's part in this, but Mercury is helping us realize what that is and helping us access what's beyond our current reality that Neptune is the portal to. Mercury is so key to helping us get through this and understand it. The meeting of Mercury retrograde and Neptune on this last degree point is kind of like a revelation or a realization of what needs to go. It's like the click of a button, a switch over from one operating system to the next, just by the virtue of Mercury kind of bringing together what Neptune perhaps is allowing to happen or not doing fast enough. because Mercury is fast, Neptune is slow. Mercury's presence here makes that happen. Neptune couldn't do it by himself. However, their cozy conjunction only lasts hours from 3:18 a.m. to 12:58 that afternoon. So just over 9 hours for this switch to happen. Because, you know, that's on the same day. They're both happening on the 30th of March in the UK. So that's when Neptune steps into Aries for the first time in 164 years. So 9 hours later, Mercury moving back into Pisces, Neptune moves forward into Aries. So they switch over, they switch signs in opposite directions. And Neptune steps into Aries for the first time, like I said, in 164 years. 164 years ago, it was 1861. Do you remember what happened then? Neptune entered Aries on the 13th or 14th of April, 1861. And what happened on the 12th of April, 1861? Of course, the Americans amongst us know this. We had that in the history classes, that that's the date the American Civil War started. So I think this is a profound resonance from the start of that war, the American Civil War, which really was getting rid of the old ways. This is like the progressive against the old fashioned and a lower consciousness, should we say, because it really did. This is where they got rid of the slavery system. That's what they were fighting for. The dissolving of one oppressive way of life, and this is the Neptune way, so that another one could come forth. And that is the one that comes forth, is the one that unites the states of America, not one divided by North and South. This is, we're going forward as one. And that's the Aries side of this. So I do think this is hugely significant for this 164 years to be here going into a new era for America yet again. Of course, having gone through, or really still going through, the Pluto return. This is the complete revolution, the evolve or die with the Pluto return. But now we're going through a completely new consciousness. Because if you imagine a consciousness that says you would abide by or even support slavery, I mean, it's unthinkable now. I mean, okay, it's still happening all over the world in various forms. But the consciousness to even have slaves or even to treat another person like dirt in front of everyone else as your slave. Now, that consciousness died in the Civil War, the American Civil War. They said that's no longer relevant. And I will say Neptune is the instigator here. It was the dying away of an old way of being, but also it was opening up mankind in Aries to something new, a new way of being, a new incarnation. They were going to a newer level. Neptune was dissolving one mindset of oppression and slavery and the old ways, the Pisces ways, and perhaps, yeah, to bring in a new, more patriarchal though, Aries, progressive, and united way of being, and to put America, or as it is now, the United States of America, as the leader of the Western world, which obviously didn't happen straight away. So this is Neptune dissolving one consciousness that is outdated and bringing in a new one. And of course, it will do that every time that it changes signs. It will bring in a new level of consciousness. But this literally is the end of the zodiac and the beginning of the zodiac at the same time. This is the crossing point. And so it's a 164-year process, not just this moving into a new sign. And because Neptune's ingress to Aries occurs within hours of Mercury retrograde ingress back into Pisces, they literally cross past each other. So that's within, there's 9 hours, and within a day of the Aries eclipse. We know that the Aries, the new world, is about to kick off, seriously kick off, big time. Hallelujah, I'm really here for it. I think there's so much exciting things to happen with Aries ready to happen. But I do hope that all the deaths stop happening now, because the American Civil War, 620,000 soldiers, and that's, I would say, 99% men, died. I mean, that's horrendous. And look what's happening in the world now with genocides and etc. wars going on. Anyway, I feel like Mercury's role as the psychopomp. Now, the psychopomp is the spiritual messenger to the dead. And I think his role here is going to be in extra full force, opening up communication with beyond the veil and perhaps our own death far in the future, hopefully. But Mercury's role as psychopomp is kind of, you know, at 29 degrees Pisces, it's like, here I am opening up that channel. And on as well, since the connection to Neptune, who is the portal doorway, the opening, means that the veil here is going to be really thin, like a Halloween, in fact. We should, or perhaps we could, talk to the dead or the not yet lived. We could talk to our spirit guides if they're going to be on the phone. Should we choose to receive their call? Should we be in that frequency of understanding something beyond our physical selves? Here, Mercury and Neptune are really going to be powerfully allowing us to open up to new levels of consciousness. And perhaps there is the idea that we choose to go to a certain point, you know, either, you know, with the amount of death happening, that either, you know, that we realize this is not for us. Our mission on this world is not relevant, and we want, perhaps we're going to stay here and fix it, or we need to continue in this and grow the vibration. I mean, there's choices here, and there's, you know, there is a letting go. It doesn't necessarily mean a death to ourselves. Maybe there's a death to our old selves, our old realization of who we are, that we are going to become something completely new. But here we are at that portal, the doorway to the next dimension. I kid you not. So there's our eclipse. But moving on from these by, say, 2 days, we come to the 31st of March. On the 31st of March, Venus, in her retrograde motion, is going to meet up with the North Node at 27 degrees Pisces. And again, we have a wonderful day for realizing our dreams, putting our feelings in the frame first, for expressing them, and feel that what is best suited to perhaps artistic plans, to creating some kind of beauty and perhaps even romance. And this is like forward progress here. This is the North Node destiny point. So to have Venus sitting there, it's like feels good to move forward into something that takes us beyond ourselves. This is where we can wear our heart on our sleeve on the 31st of March. So do it. If there's anything left of you after the eclipse, do it. Have some beauty to be expressed and to put your dreams out there on the 31st of March after the eclipse. Connect back to that grace and wonderfulness of Venus in Pisces. Super creative. And then we have April Fool's Day, 1st of April. And I believe this is going to be an extra special, supersized April Fool's Day, since following Venus retrograde, Mercury retrograde, start all over again. And then we have April Fool's Day. And I believe this is going to be an extra special, supersized April Fool's Day, 1st of April, since following the Venus activity, Mercury retrograde then meets the North Node destiny point, just like Venus did. So Venus goes first, then Mercury retrograde. And being Mercury is the psychopomp and also the trickster, and also being in retrograde in a more mystical sign, a more confusing sign, we can be sure that for April Fool's Day, there's going to be some excellent tricks being played. I mean, for now, we hardly know what is up or down, truth or misinformation. And we're still going to be a bit discombobulated from the eclipses and the Mercury and Neptune changing signs. But I guarantee that 1st of April, that we really are going to have an extra special April Fool's Day. So make sure you have your wits about you on the 1st of April. But for sure the gods will be listening. So be careful also in what you say. Best make sure you are saying some beautiful, gracious, loving things to take advantage of the communication planet Mercury at this doorway to the future, the North Node. Like, you know, speak what you desire until you see what you said. That's going to be completely for the first and actually the 2nd of April. I know the first is obviously April Fool's Day, but the second too, the Mercury will still be the North Node on the 2nd of April, and they're both going to be at 27 degrees Pisces. On the 4th and the 5th of April, following from that, Venus will join more serious Saturn. Now, some people will be wary of this pairing, thinking that Saturn will bring the love vibe down a peg or two. But in reality, they do work really well together. Venus is the sister to Saturn after all. So she was born in the sea foam created by the severed genitals of Uranus, and they were cut off by his son Saturn. So they're both children of Uranus, and so therefore kind of brother and sister. However, Saturn can give real stability to the more capricious or flimsy aspects of Venus. It can give longevity and reality so that the love, art, beauty, money of Venus can flow properly and successfully. So here is yet another fabulous day to realize your dreams. Really are we having quite a few amazing good days all in a row, all the way through March and now into April. Venus and Saturn meet at 25 degrees Pisces, and their meeting remains together until the 3rd of April, so the 2nd and 3rd. And here on the 3rd, they are now in a trine to Mars at 25 degrees Cancer. So they're all at 25 degrees. Mars here at 25 degrees Cancer is going to add zest, dynamism to any kind of romance, to art, of money-making schemes. You know, really, this Mars bringing energy to Venus and Saturn conjunct. This is fabulous astrology. And so I say, put your best plans on the table and invite the astrology to do its magic. Because then, on the 6th of April, the dynamic, action-orientated Sun in Aries will be in a sextile to the planet of abundance, Jupiter, at 16 degrees each. I mean, amazing. The sun, you know, in the vital force, powerful energy of ourselves, will be urging Jupiter, the yes planet, to negotiate well, to agree to some ideas, or agree to a change of plan, perhaps, or to make a really good decision, an alternative decision. This is the most excellent day for negotiating these plans or bringing about a good discussion. It's also a really good day for writing. Go and write your Sunday Times bestseller novel. The ideas ought to be in real flow on this, the 6th of April. So this is the Sun in Aries in a sextile to Jupiter at 16 degrees. I think we've been through a few weeks with excellent days to remember. Although not all of us has really felt those benefits. But, you know, these astrological currents are very strong, and it is important for us to stay true to our paths and our desires and not be kind of distracted. I mean, and there's so much to be distracted about in these intense times, but we've got to keep our goals in mind because it still is Aries season. And who likes nothing more than a goal or a target to aim for is definitely Aries. So try not to be distracted. And yes, there are beneficial things happening, even if you're not feeling them immediately. So Mercury then goes direct on the 7th of April. And Mercury goes direct at 26 degrees Pisces, whilst really being in a conjunction with Venus, Saturn and the North Node, all right there. And also Mars and Uranus, both at 25 degrees. Whilst we had things happening in the first degrees of Aries, we now have a few planets all at the final degrees of Pisces, Cancer and Taurus. So if you have anything at 25 degrees, 26 degrees even, I'm sure you're going to be ready to press the accelerator on something very powerful. So that whole idea of this might be a dissolving energy, you might be letting go of something. I'm kind of letting go of my house that I once lived in, for instance. And I'm going to go into more detail about this in the next episode. So because Mercury is going direct on the 7th of April at 26 degrees Pisces, there is this kind of wake up, should we say, because, you know, Pisces can bring us into the whole dream world. And as I say, we're going to be connecting potentially with other ideas, other realms even. So when Mercury goes forward here and in conjunction with or connecting to all these other planets, it really is a powerful start to something. It's like, wow, we've been in the doldrums. There's so much to learn here. There's so much to think about. There's so much to put forward, to speak about, to connect with. So this Mercury going forward on the 7th of April is going to be another shift in our kind of firmament, in our ways of thinking. And I'm sure there'll be news and information that we haven't even considered to be arriving into our consciousness, but via all the more unusual ways of finding information and listening to social media, all this kind of more less powerful, I mean less powerful as in not the mainstream media, that become aware of something new, or, you know, we're ready to process something extra. So that's happening at 26 degrees and then on the 7th. So as Mercury goes direct on the 7th of April at 26 degrees Pisces, then immediately Mars arrives at 26 degrees Cancer. And so the pair of them are making a beautiful trine together. And of course, Mars here, in connection with Mercury as it changes direction, is really like an instigator, a really powering up of Mercury's drive forward. And of course, with all the other planets there, all at 25 and now at 26 degrees, this is really quite something for Mercury. So it can be quite exciting for us and super creative. I mean, again, I've said this before, there are so much possibilities happening here for us to go into extra healing dimensions, to really understand what part of us needs healing and how we might do that, rather than just ordinary going to a doctor and getting a pill. This is understanding a healing process and where we might be heading in the future, which means losing part of ourselves or losing the part that is holding us back or holding us in pain. And understanding the emotional pain that is in our lives is often the cause of illnesses and dis-ease. So Mercury going forward here with all the planets in support is incredibly powerful. And then, you know, so that's that week, we've got this drive moving forward, and we get to the 12th, 13th of April. And that's when finally Venus is going forward again. And this is going to be, again, another powerful day. She is going to go forward from 24 degrees Pisces. So she's right back there, conjunct Saturn, Neptune's there too, North Node. They're all there in the last degrees of Pisces. And Venus stationing there straight after Mercury and ready to go forward again is a real kind of opening of our hearts, opening of the grace, opening of things that we've just realized in the retrograde process. That really could be romantic, creative. It could be really a refinement of how we want to express ourselves. And also, it could be a really big deal for how we might want to make some money. Money could start to flow once we've understood the refinement process that Venus retrograde takes us on. So these are really, you know, I'm going to go into this Venus going direct in the next episode. But I want to know, hear from you. Let me know how all of these fantastic aspects are working out for you. Have you had any miracles occur? But remember, for this Aries solar eclipse and Aries season, this is not the new me being born, but kind of more of me or you that always was. It was like the revealing of me This is me coming forth in this incarnation in a much more powerful way. So these are exciting times, my friend. So thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.